Hello, my name is Kevin Keith. I'm honored to have a chance to contribute to this podcast. Today I'd like to talk about the basic skeptical mindset and how some simple off-the-cuff sanity checking of factual propositions can put you in a stronger position to begin your skeptical inquiries. Just today I was riding in an elevator that had one of those informative digital displays to entertain you. It popped up a little blurb about a supposed new scientific breakthrough. Eating asparagus just before or after drinking can prevent a hangover. What a discovery! Generations to come will hail this humanitarian advancement. I'm sorry to say, though, that I don't believe it. Now, I haven't done any research on this, and I'm not an expert in the field of asparagus-mediated intoxication. Maybe it's true. I mean that. It's possible that this result is true, and asparagus is the new cure for hangovers. But on no more evidence than what I read in the elevator, I don't believe it. Here's another exciting breakthrough I heard about just recently. The director of a DNA testing lab in Texas, Dr. Melba Cutcham, issued a press release declaring that, quote, "Their 5-year-long DNA study, currently under peer review, confirms the existence of a novel hominin hybrid species, commonly called Bigfoot or Sasquatch, living in North America. Researchers' extensive DNA sequencing suggests that the legendary Sasquatch is a human relative that arose approximately 15,000 years ago as a hybrid cross of modern Homo sapiens with an unknown primate species." End quote. Yep, Bigfoot exists, and they've got its DNA. An experienced DNA expert says so, and I'm no DNA expert, so I can't prove her wrong. Except, I don't believe it. Now, in both these cases, the skeptical response I endorse was reached before any actual data were reviewed. Isn't that evidence of closed-mindedness? Sure, a vegetarian cure for hangovers and Bigfoot DNA sound like long shots, but these claims were backed up by reported scientific experiments. Isn't it unfair to take a dismissive opinion of a scientific report before at least conducting a proper skeptical review, that is, a detailed analysis of the data and arguments? Of course I don't want to argue in favor of prejudice or snap judgments about factual claims. A skeptic should have an open mind. But at the same time, we have to start somewhere with our skeptical analysis, and having a good sense of context and proportion is one of the most important tools in the skeptical toolkit. What do I mean by context and proportion? Any new discovery not only has to stand on firm observational or experimental ground, but also make sense in the context of what is already known. And discoveries that challenge previous beliefs, which is an important scientific process, must offer a strength of proof in proportion to the basis for those already existing beliefs. Every skeptic knows Carl Sagan's famous statement that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. So before we even look at the data, we can ask ourselves, is this an extraordinary claim? Am I being asked to accept something that would require upsetting an entire field of existing theory? Or is this just an extension of knowledge that fits well with what's already believed? In the case of the asparagus hangover cure, there's no obvious reason that couldn't be true, but it would also be surprising if it were true and nobody knew about it. We would at least ask for solid evidence in this case. The Bigfoot claim is even more startling. If it were true, it would require evidence for a complete revision of hominid evolution, as well as explaining how a creature like that could have survived in North America for so long, almost completely undetected. This is a claim that is going to require extraordinary evidence. Now, along with this sense of the general level of believability of the claim you've been given, you can ask what specific further facts would have to be true for that claim also to be true. That is, every fact that is part of the broad web of scientific knowledge has implications for other facts. When we're asked to accept a certain scientific claim, we can ask ourselves, what else do I have to accept this? People have known about asparagus for thousands of years, but nobody suspected its efficacy in preventing hangovers. In fact, there is an unusual fact about asparagus. It contains many sulfur-containing amino acids that give a distinctive smell to the urine of people who eat it. People have been writing about this odor for hundreds of years at least, but nobody has ever mentioned a link between asparagus eating and hangovers. To believe the asparagus claim, we not only have to believe it works, but believe that nobody noticed it works, even though they noticed other things about the metabolism of asparagus. In the case of Bigfoot, what we're asked to swallow is even more challenging. For this claim to be true, that Bigfoot evolved in North America from interbreeding between modern humans and another species of hominid about 15,000 years ago, there would have to have been a large hominid of that kind in North America 15,000 years ago. As far as the archaeological record shows, Homo sapiens is the only hominid ever to have lived in North America. So believing this claim requires that we rewrite the entire history of hominid evolution, and not just for North America. We would have to believe that some early human species had migrated out of Africa, across Asia, and into North America around the same time as modern humans, without leaving any traces anywhere in the world. Then that species would have to have mated with Homo sapiens and given rise to Bigfoot, then gone extinct, again without leaving any trace, while Bigfoot itself existed here in a stable population for 15,000 years without ever being seen or contacted by modern humans. Accepting that one startling claim about laboratory evidence, that Bigfoot DNA has been found and sequenced, requires accepting a complete revision of all that is known about late hominid evolution and the history of humans in North America, and an entire body of correlated facts for which there is currently no evidence at all. Finally, there are other contextual clues that may give us a warning of how likely certain claims are to be true. Scientific results that are published in popular media like newspapers or elevator display screens do not contain full descriptions of the research and are often garbled in publication. I can't be sure what I read in that elevator is even a reasonable representation of what the scientists are claiming. And scientific claims that are announced by press release before pre-publication peer review has taken place, like the Bigfoot claim, are especially suspicious. Reputable science is generally published through the scientific literature before being released to the press. This lack of rigor does not prove the results are wrong, but it raises questions about how reliable the published reports may be. Taking these implications into account, the scientific claims I mentioned start to sound much harder to believe. They are much bigger in scope than the basic factual claims themselves. They entail other facts that are either unlikely or completely ungrounded, and they are reported through non-scientific media. We are entitled in these cases to demand heightened levels of proof, an explanation for why this unlikely result is true in the case of the asparagus claim, and an extraordinary justification with the necessary correlative facts in the case of the Bigfoot claim. We are also entitled to set our levels of skeptical prejudgment appropriately until we are given supporting evidence at those levels. All this comes before we even take a look at the underlying experimental data. Again, I'm not suggesting that skeptics should jump to conclusions on the basis of superficial analysis. I am suggesting that getting a sense of the scope, level, and reliability of the data that are required to truly validate a scientific claim is a good first step in preparing yourself to do a real analysis, or even to decide whether the claim deserves to be treated that seriously in the first place.